The autumn wind is a pirate.
Welcome, Raider Nation, to the Raider Nation podcast, and Merry freaking Christmas to the Raider Nation. And you know what I'm saying. That and more here on show 630630, folks. Raider Nation, on today's show, we will have a post-game for the absolute demolition of the Kansas City Chiefs. There was no ring around the rosy. There was no laughing and giggling on the sideline. One of my favorite games of all time, and I've seen a few. We'll hit on that for sure. We'll go into a little bit of a pregame. We got a bunch of callers. We got to get to them as well. I am so stoked with the way our defense is playing. It's been a very long time. Let's get to it.
And yes, happy holidays from all of us at CBS Sports.
The Christmas matchup we cannot wait to see is that of Patrick Mahomes and Max Crosby. Now, no one has sacked Mahomes more than Crosby. And Antonio Pierce told us no one hates the Chiefs more than Crosby and that he's going to be seeing red today. Crosby told me in pregame he loves this rivalry, but both agree there is a mutual respect for each other and they appreciate the way each other plays the game. Still, though, Max Crosby and the Raiders, they want to spoil this Christmas Day for the Chiefs.
Yes, they have every intention of doing that. As you look at the, again, gray skies here, and it might be sunny by the end of the game. There was a system that rolled through the center of the country, impacted a lot of you folks, and some of you it's headed your way, the Northeast. But we're ready here with the Raiders about to kick off.
Well, what a wonderful Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. I love it. There we were at Giza, I think that's what it's called, stadium, there in Kansas City on a misty morning, early game, no expectations. But let me just give you this statistic. More people watch this game in any game in the entire season. 39 million people watched the Chiefs get pummeled by the Las Vegas Raiders. Let me just say that to start, because there's a lot to cover here in this game. The Raiders' defense was out of their minds. I'm talking about the Super Freaks. The Super Freak, yeah, the Super Freaks came out, and the all game long. There were glimpses of the typical Kansas City. Travis Kelce did his little thing, but there was no ring around the rosy dance. There was throwing of helmets.
This is Kelce after the fake punt. Right around that time, he threw his helmet on the sideline.
There was screaming at your offensive line.
And Mahomes was yelling at everybody. Look at him, man. He's screaming and yelling and pointing fingers at his teammates because they dropped the ball. Mahomes was the problem yesterday. The Raiders made him the problem. It wasn't guys dropping the ball. It was Mahomes throwing a weak ball. A weak ball that was getting picked off or playing cute up against his own end zone and making mistakes. That was glorious.
There was Andy Reid trying to calm down his troops. There were fans booing their own team as they went into the locker room at the halftime.
Kneel down and we're at halftime.
Wow, they don't boo very often here in Kansas City.
Talk about a magician. They like to call David Copperfield and have this first half disappear.
This, and then there was Taylor Swift. And you know, they're calling it a Taylor Swift curse now. You know, she's a curse on the team. I love it. I just love it.
You saw yesterday that the Chiefs melted down. Got a round of applause for me with my Swiftie theory, saying that Travis and Taylor Swift on their first ever Christmas together. God, I remember the first Christmas with my wife. I met her at a Rolling Stones concert in February. We got engaged on Christmas, right around Christmas. I remember like it was yesterday, real close to Christmas. I remember the first ever Christmas with my wife was the most important. We decided we were going to get married and got married the following year. I love the theory that Kelce's unhinged in front of the Swifties. He is. He's throwing his helmet. That's fact, not fiction.
The announcers were absolutely baffled. I mean, Tony Romo was at a loss for words, which really isn't him. They didn't know what to say other than what was happening on the field. And what was happening on the field, they didn't even believe it. It was hard to believe that our defense was so fierce.
Shotgun snap, fakes it out to the left, throws it to Pacheco on a screen to the right, and he's brought down behind the 20. Nate Hobbs ran it the whole way and chopped him down at the 18-yard line, just inside the numbers for a loss of six.
It's Jason Horowitz, the voice of the Raiders. Raiders win at Kansas City on Christmas. Paul Gutierrez, what has it been for you with Patrick Graham and this team? Is it more about the scheme changing, the simplicity of it, or clearly just having better personnel to execute the scheme?
It's a little bit of everything, JT, and it's funny you bring that up. I actually have a story that's posting here in the next few minutes on ESPN.com, not only talking about how Antonio Pierce is laying claim to wanting the job and maybe even deserving the job full-time going forward, but how well the defense has played under him. And it's kind of a weird dynamic, right, because he's not the play caller. He's not the shot caller on defense, per se. It's Patrick Graham. But ever since Antonio took over the reins as the interim head coach, and as Mark Davis told me on that day, look, I don't want him to coach. I want him to delegate to the coordinators. And it seems like that's what he's done. You look at what the defense has done. The Raiders, since Pierce took over, they have the number one ranked scoring defense in the NFL. They were 22nd before he took over. That's not overall, but, you know, in that time frame, they're first since then. And they're not blitzing as much now as they were before, and yet they're getting more sacks. So it's a combination of freedom. It's a combination of scheme. It's a combination of really just believing in themselves and getting it done. So it's kind of a tale of, it's cliche, tale of two seasons, tale of two teams, and yet there they are, and they still give themselves a fighting chance each and every week because of what the defense is doing. And, you know, I'm old enough to remember these teams and being a young fan of the Raiders when I was growing up and remembering those brutal defenses that the Raiders had in the early 80s. And it seems kind of like that because the offense, you know, all the offense had to do was not lose the game because the defense would win. And that's kind of how it's felt about the past two games, three games, really, if you count the Minnesota game.
The hits they were taking, we were knocking players out left and right. You know, Zelaire out with a concussion. I don't even think he's going to play this week. Josh Jacobs didn't play, but Zavir Mike White, Zeus, played like a champion. He actually won the game for us. I mean, I didn't think he was very much when he came out of college and we drafted him. I thought, he's not very good. He wasn't making much room, but, man, he earned his salt this game. Big time. 22 carries for 145 yards and a long of 43, which helped us to cement the game at the end of the game.
So 2:42 to go in the game on an afternoon here, Link, on Christmas Day, where the Raiders have frankly been so much better than the Chiefs. But with 2:42 to go and a 6-point lead, this offense is going to have to pick up a first down. They have to.
Two first downs because the Chiefs still have two timeouts.
And the two-minute
warning. Yeah. You need two first downs to seal this game.
Yeah. One is a must.
Yeah.
Two is a win.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's the snap on second and four. Hand off to Zamir. Cuts to the right side. First down, 35. Burst 40. Down the 50. Near side, 40. 35, 30. And Zamir White might have just salted away a Raiders win. He's brought down at the Chiefs' 25-yard line on a 44-yard pickup and a first down for Las Vegas.
Paul, what do you make about Zamir White after this performance and how he closed out the game compared to Josh Jacobs going forward, the balance of touches?
Yeah, it's interesting. When the game ended, I looked at the stats and I went, wait a minute, 145 yards? What did happen? I knew he had that long run at the end to ice the game, but I didn't realize watching the game that he was doing all of that. And the fact that, and then you realize that Aiden O'Connell didn't complete a pass after the first quarter, well, of course they were going to have to get the ground game going. And that's, again, another hallmark, a tenet of Raider football from back in the day was, look, here's what we're going to do, stop us. And they couldn't, especially offensively running the ball. So now when you look at Zamir White, he's got his legs under him. You've got Josh Jacobs, who's still one of the best running backs in the NFL. It's going to be interesting to see how they kind of dole out those touches and those carries in these last two games. You know, earlier in the week, Antonio said if he was a betting man, he would have bet that Josh Jacobs was going to play. Couldn't go. So Zamir White, next man up mentality, boom, he goes. He has a career day. So if nothing else, JT, it sets the Raiders up to have an interesting or maybe even a good problem to have in the offseason with Josh Jacobs' contract up. And with Zamir White showing that, you know, at least these last two games, he's rushed for over 200 yards in these last two games, showing that maybe that might be the way to go. So we'll see exactly what happens these last two games. They're still playing for more than stats and contract. They're playing for bigger goals right now.
O'Connell, 9 for 21, a total of 62 yards. No TDs, no interceptions. After the first quarter, they didn't let him do anything but hand the ball off. And our offensive line played like champions. I mean, the first time, I can't believe how awesome the line was playing. And let's just go back to the defense, because they won the game.
The Raiders were physical. Jack Jones was trash-talking. I mean, they came in there and said, enough of this. We're sick of being dominated here at Arrowhead. We're going to come out here and play a different style of football, and it worked.
They kept Patrick Mahomes in his little pocket, and then when he tried to scramble out left or right, there was somebody there. There was Malcolm Kuntz, or number 98, the Mad Stork. I mean, the Condor. You can't. And then Bilal Nichols up the middle. He couldn't even dive into the middle to get any leverage to make a pass. He was under duress the entire game. He scolded his offensive line. You know, he bought them all, you know, golf carts for Christmas. Merry Christmas, there's a golf cart. And then scolded them for their play. I just love it. Kelce throwing his helmet. You know, Taylor Swift with their pouty face. A classic picture. If you can find it, get it. Put it on a picture in a frame, because it's beautiful. The Chiefs fans were out of their minds. They could not believe what was happening in front of their very faces.
Hey, welcome in.
Welcome to the Arrowhead Attic Podcast.
We are here coming to you live. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. We got a good show for you today. Obviously, we're going to preview this Chiefs-Raiders game we got coming up on Christmas Day. Is there a way, Matt, for the Chiefs to clinch the AFC West before the game against the Raiders? Do you know?
No, they have to win or tie.
Okay.
On Monday. If it's a tie, the Broncos have to lose.
Got it. Okay. So win, and they're getting hats on Christmas.
Yeah, win and they're in, man. Eight straight. Yeah.
Did you see this article on ESPN where they projected the rest of the season?
No, I did not.
So they've got some sort of, they use their FPI, their Football Power Index, yeah, and they simulated the last 3 weeks of the season, and then not to the Super Bowl, but the last 3 weeks of the season. So just for fun, I figured I'd let everybody know, they have the Chiefs beating the Raiders this weekend, 27-3. Then they have the Chiefs beating the Bengals 19-9. And they have the Chiefs losing to the Chargers 29-19. That's weird. I don't know if their model knows that Easton Stick is playing quarterback for the Chargers. But all right, let's preview this game really quick. Last I checked, it was Chiefs minus 10 at Arrowhead, over under 41 when these two teams played
the last time the Chiefs stayed in the locker room for the first quarter, were down 14-0, ended up winning 31-17. The Raiders looked like they had a really good game plan coming out. The Chiefs defense just seemed out of sorts, didn't know what was going on. And then once they figured it out, talent won out and the Chiefs took care of business. The Raiders scored three more points the rest of the way. Are you thinking a similar type of game? The Raiders have been weird. They had like a really bad game 2 weeks ago. Yeah, zero points. And then they came back and then the very next week and vultured the corpse of Brandon Staley and the Los Angeles Chargers. So which Raiders team is going to show up here?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a continuation of what we saw in the second half of that game, because now we've got to look at Antonio Pierce and what he was trying to do in that first game. Even in that game, I said in the pregame show, look, which coaching staff are you trusting to make these adjustments? The veterans who were coming in or this interim guy who's relying a lot on like energy and like everyone's against us. I'm interim. Let's do this, guys. Like that only goes so far. So if you're playing on a team who's already saw all that, you're like, the most you guys have going for you is you watched Rudy before you came out and you were more emotional than us. Like that's not lasting into a whole second game. I'm no offense to Rudy or Hoosiers or whatever he forces the players to watch before they come out. But yeah, emotion is not going to get you anywhere at Arrowhead.
And let's be honest, that game against the Chargers, look, credit the Raiders. They played a good game, but they took advantage of a team. It was much more about the fact that the Chargers were just the most uninterested in winning a football game team that I've ever seen, ever. Yeah. There was no urgency, no passion. They were just – it was just like they were broken. It was one of the worst performances I've ever seen from an NFL team. No focus, just complete and utter meltdown. And it did not get any better. Like they came out after the half and it didn't get better.
Crazy. Because the Raiders didn't even have Josh Jacobs in that game, right?
Yeah, no.
Crazy.
They just obliterated, absolutely obliterated the Chargers so badly, you know, that it cost Staley his job. Like Staley was going to get fired anyway, but like if they put up a fight, he probably would have made it to the end of the season.
Sure.
But that was a game by the way, if you didn't watch, 63-21. That's a college score.
Yeah.
Usually in the NFL, like if a team gets to 50, they let off the gas pedal. But the Chargers were so bad, the Raiders couldn't help but keep scoring.
Aiden O'Connell, he can't help himself. He can't help himself. Hey, look, am I alone in thinking this? By the way, the Raiders, if they got a good quarterback in there, if they got a decent Davante Adams, Jacoby Myers, Mike Mayer, the new tight end, Josh Jacobs, they've got a nice group of skill position players that can move the chains. Hunter Renfro, some others in there too. I kind of like what they have on offense.
Yeah, even Aiden O'Connell. I don't think he's probably an NFL starter. You know, he played at Purdue, but I think he's done pretty well for them this year, stepping in, being a rookie out of like not a major program. I think he's probably maybe a good backup quarterback, but who knows? You know, yeah. I mean, if you put him in Kyle Shanahan's offense with where is he Brock Purdy? Maybe
he's MVP candidate. Right.
Yeah, he can do some things well. And in that game, he was 20 of 34 for 248 yards, four touchdowns and no picks. So, you know, but also in that game, Zamir White rushed for 4.1 yards a carry. So, you know what I mean? Like in Amir Abdullah, 5.3 yards a carry. Brandon Bolden got a couple carries for 25 yards. Yes, they have some nice pieces on this Raiders team, but they just have had bad coaching and bad quarterback play. So, you know, I think this is going to be a wake-up call for them. I think it's tough to have a game like that and then, you know, play the Chiefs. And again, remember, this is a Raiders team that, as you pointed out, the week before they beat the Chargers 63-21, they lost to the Vikings 3-0 in maybe the worst NFL game of all time.
Shut out. How do you, you know, that's the other extreme. How do you do that? Aiden O'Connell, ladies and gentlemen, whatever you want to believe about him. I'll say this. They'll move the chains because their offense on Sunday a bit. Chiefs are going to give up some yards. When we lost Brian Cook for the season, we lost a big part of our ability to shut some of that down. So they're going to convert some of those third and longs, you know, because of that. We'll be fine, though.
Yeah, I'm not worried about this one. All right, let's get to our predictions for this game. Lay it on me, Matt. What's your final score for this one?
Yeah, I think the Chiefs scored 24. I think we're still going to sputter a little bit here, but I think the Raiders will put up like 9 points, like 3 field goals. Sounds good.
I think they'll get a touchdown. They've just got too much offensive talent. One of those wide receivers will figure something out, sneak back there for one early on. But I got the Chiefs in this one going big. 28-13, Kansas City, and take care of business. Give everybody that Christmas present they're asking for. You know, I think this is going to be a wake-up call for them.
Mahomes, pocket collapsing, and the ball comes out. I think that would have been a fumble, but he recovered it. His arm was not moving forward.
We'll be fine, though.
Yeah, I'm not worried about this one.
3rd and 9. Looking, and he's going down again.
We'll be fine, though.
You know, I think this is going to be a wake-up call for them.
Look at this. Ball's on the ground. Ball's on the ground. It's picked up by the Raiders. And they have a touchdown with Nichols.
And the miscues continue.
I think it's tough to have a game like that and then, you know, play the Chiefs. Like that.
Yeah.
Mahomes throws and he's picked off. And this one's going back for a touchdown. 2 steps, 2 defensive touchdowns. And it's Jack Jones who had a pick six last week. 2 touchdowns in 7 seconds.
I'm not worried about this one.
The Chiefs fans were out of their minds. They could not believe what was happening in front of their very faces.
I got the Chiefs in this one going big. 28-13, Kansas City.
But I think the Raiders will put up like 9 points, like 3 field goals. Sounds good.
It was a complete dismantling of the Kansas City Chiefs. They had nowhere to go. They tried to run the ball. Usually, you know, Pacheco gets in and runs around and he gets those big time yardage. No, they tried to run the ball, stuffed 1 yard. Again, they'd run it again, stuffed 1 yard. They tried some other fancy play, stuffed 1 yard. Then they tried a really fancy play in their side of the field on their 25-yard line, fumble, Nichols picks it up, runs it in for a touchdown.
Look at this. Ball's on the ground. Ball's on the ground. It's picked up by the Raiders.
Jack Jones, 2nd week in a row. Pick 6.
Mahomes throws, and he's picked off. And this one's going back for a touchdown. 2 steps, 2 defensive touchdowns. And it's Jack Jones who had a pick 6 last week. 2 touchdowns in 7 seconds.
The Jack Jones story is really cool because the connection to Antonio Pierce is one thing. But then coming in here and making plays the way he's making all time, the one interception against the Chargers, a glamour interception that goes down in the annals of this team just for the looks of it. Top play on SportsCenter. And then he ties Eric Allen, my partner, as the only player ever to have back-to-back pick sixes in 2 games, which I thought that list would have been long with Mike Haynes and Lester Hayes and all of that. What a difference it was saying goodbye to Peterson and then bringing in a player like this who's making plays and helping save the season.
And it's a great personal story, too, like you mentioned. I mean, they've known, he and Antonio Pierce have known each other since he was in high school. He coached him at Long Beach Poly, you know. So that's something that if you put a trust in someone and there's something more to it, he said he's basically a father figure to him. So when you have that trust, when you don't want to disappoint somebody that, that you have an invested interest in like that, like a family member, that's gonna show itself out on the field. And you're seeing that. You're seeing he's always kind of had the talent. He's gotten in his own way off the field, whether it was in college or even with the Patriots. And as long as they just kind of, you know, maintain that honesty with each other and keep each other in check, that's the makings of, you hate to say it, but of a beautiful relationship.
And then stared down Mahomie. You know, talk about a payback. I just have to say, this is a payback for all the giggling, all the little girl giggles, and the little joyous nonsense celebrations on the sideline while they're beating us. The ring around the rosy, the most disrespectful. I hope the coach had it on the whiteboard in the room just to inspire the defense to say, hey, you know what? Let's not do this today. And, you know, Antonio Pierce, I got to say, I mean, we've had a lot of coaches lately, and there has not been a lot of coaches to inspire these guys to do anything.
I just thought they had to go out there and win the game, and they did. Because they were more violent. This coach wants to be more physical. He wants to put his hands on players, not him personally, his players on other teams. He came on this show. I was the first one he said, choke him out. And I said, like a UFC fight? Right here, he's a foot away from me. And I saw the look in his eyes and what he wants to do. And he wants to physically hurt teams and dominate them. And this organization definitely needs that. This organization needs someone with that type of energy in the building and the guy who can walk up as a former player and Super Bowl champion and look a player in the face saying, I've been there, I've done that, this is what I need from you. He knows what he's not great at. He's not an offensive coordinator. He's not an offensive head coach. He understands how to get the most out of his coaches and players. But what Antonio Pierce does, which is exceptional, and Eric Allen pointed it out today, he went to the press conference about an hour or so ago, and he broke down specific plays, specifically. So he knows exactly what every player needs to do, from Nate Hobbs to Malcolm Kuntz to A.J. Cole. He can tell you. He's not lost. He's not lost if you say, hey, man, what do you think of Devontae? He only had one reception, 4 yards. He can explain to you what happened in that game and why they tried to switch it out and choke him out with the running game late in the game. He could do that very quickly, and he's a master motivator. He's a master motivator because he won a Super Bowl and he's done it. So are there coaches, head coaches that wear headsets and call the plays? Mike McCarthy's doing that. He's getting questioned. Did you see Kyle Shanahan last night? Everybody crowns him as the best coach out there. His team got boat raced last night. Antonio Pierce has his team ready to play, and that's what this team needed. They were not ready to play in Detroit after the Chicago loss. After the Chicago loss, and the first half in Detroit, the former head coach got fired. The body language of the team, their inability to pick up a first down, to do anything, that was enough. Mark Davis saw enough. Enough was enough. He didn't think it could be fixed. Not that the coach didn't deserve respect and dignity. Making a lot of money. When you let go of a coach and he's making that much money, you don't have to worry about hurt feelings. That's generational wealth. What you got to do is bring someone in that could do the job, and that could have been, really, it could have been Rob Ryan, or it could have been Patrick Graham as head coach. Mark hit a home run on bringing in Antonio Pierce at that moment. He was exactly what the team needed. And a lot of fans were saying, well, he did the same thing with Rich Bisaccia. Why didn't he come back? Because they made a decision to go for a tandem coach and GM that they thought would bring them to greatness quickly, and it didn't work out. It's working out for Coach Antonio Pierce, and that is a good thing.
And this team, I know the defense for sure. Our offense is hurting because we don't have a quarterback.
The offense is in trouble. That offense yesterday, other than Zamir White, didn't have a completion after the first quarter. That better get fixed quick.
But the defense has made it happen. This last game, the game before, defense is becoming an awesome destructive power. Just like back in the day. We all talk about the Raiders back in the day. Well, this is them. The defense would scare other teams to death, literally, and the offense just had to do enough to win, and that happened. If we can get a quarterback, I mean, there's no limit to what we can do. But We beat the Chiefs in their house on Christmas Day. And listening to Andy Reid, you know, Travis Kelce didn't even do the post-game interview. That's, he likes to get up there and say, well, you know, I did this and I did that. No show. I love it.
So let me get to that Travis Kelce sound. This should infuriate Raider Nation. Infuriate him. What he had to say with his brother on the podcast on the Raiders' victory and what happened.
Let's move on to the next game, Trav. Chiefs 14, Raiders 20.
Yeah, man. That was embarrassing.
Not a Merry Christmas in Arrowhead. What do you got? What are your first thoughts?
I mean, we handed that team a win on Christmas. We literally played Santa and gave him a present.
I mean, I'd be hard-pressed to disagree with you, but let's...
All I got for you is that we are... That was embarrassing. Everybody in the building knows how embarrassing that was.
Wow. Embarrassing. Gave him a gift. I wouldn't go that far. I thought two touchdowns in 7 seconds on a pick six. That was a mistake by the great Patrick Mahomes, and then they got cute up against their goal line. Got cute because they like to do ring around the rosy against the Raiders and all that garbage, and look what happened there. So that's a big deal, and we don't see Kelce till next year. That is a long time. So what I think is good for the Raiders is, it sounded like in Kelce's voice, that loss is going to travel with him for a while. I believe that.
I believe it will, too. But you know one thing, if it's not going to be until September, October, is he going to be Mr. Swift by the time he comes back?
Yeah, I think he could be. Look, at the pace of that relationship with Taylor Swift, at the pace of it's going, and the fact that it's a Hollywood relationship, you don't get engaged for 3 years in Hollywood, man. You know this. You've been married, man. You know, some people have quick engagements. That's Hollywood. It's a Hollywood relationship, and the pressure of that relationship, you could hear it in his podcast. What it does is it affects the moods. The moods. Happy wife, happy life. I have a great wife. She's much better than me. She's the best of the best. When you have a great wife, your life's supposed to be easy. When you have a high-maintenance girlfriend or wife, life is bleeping miserable. There's a lot of perks to it, especially when they're all good looking and they dress up and they walk the red carpet. But if your wife is just needling you every week, or you're living long distance, or you're on every commercial and she's on the other one, I mean, that to me is a fascinating topic because Kelce looks worn out.
I love it when the Chiefs get embarrassed at our expense. They get embarrassed when the Raiders come to town.
When teams lose to the Raiders, it hurts them more. Ask Vic Fangio. Ask Marty Schottenheimer. Ask Nathaniel Hackett. Go ask all of them.
I mean, we put such a hurt on the Kansas City Chiefs that there are several players that will not play this week. They won't play. They're injured. I love it. That's what you're supposed to do on defense. That's how you're supposed to win a game. And especially with the Chiefs and their smarmy little mouths and their little smiles and their little giggles. I couldn't ask for a better outcome to a Christmas game. This is it. And of all things, and trust me, of all things, in their house.
As you look at the... Again, gray skies here, and it might be sunny by the end of the game. There was a system that rolled through the center of the country.
With their fans. And you could hear, if you listen towards the end of the game, you could hear a pin drop and wait. You could hear Raider fans that are in the crowd screaming, Raiders, for sure. Absolutely. No doubt. That's what Pierce did in the locker room. I'm sure Randy's got it. Raiders! It's a heck of a thing, man. When they told you you can't smoke cigars in our locker room, that's all that happened right after the victory. They did what they did. And so what? Send us the bill. I just love it. Everything about this game was perfect. I mean, I didn't expect anything from O'Connell. They didn't let him do anything. They kept him from doing anything. Don't throw the ball away. And he didn't throw the ball at all after the first quarter. I was afraid. I thought we were going to give it up.
Let me tell you, everybody, I look at the math of every game, and it was 20-7. Kansas City had the ball, and they scored. I'm looking at Eric Allen going, no, no way. Because you just knew if they scored with the extra point, they'd win. And Zamir White closed out the game. Can you imagine me sitting here today if the Chiefs came back? We're not asking them to score four times, just twice. And they already scored once. They already scored once to make it 2014. If they get the ball back again and win after the Raiders dominated them the whole game, we would have had a really big problem today. Massive with the offense. Massive. I mean, it could have got ugly in here. And the defense cleaned it all up. Way to go. The Raiders were physical. Jack Jones was trash-talking. I mean, they came in there and said, enough of this. We're sick of being dominated here at Arrowhead. We're going to come out here and play a different style of football, and it worked.
With the two scores on defense and our field goals, I mean, I can't even tell you. 3 points in the first quarter, two touchdowns on the defense in the second quarter, another field goal in the third. That was the end. And all we had to do was keep running the ball. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. And the Chiefs defense was out there all day. They were out there enough to get tired because when we started running the ball, it was over. I mean, they had nothing, no answer for Zamir. They had no answer for running backs. It was just getting through, getting through, getting through. They just want to go home. You could tell that they had been beat. They know that they were not going to win. And it was just so pleasant to see the fans leaving their house with our team winning. I just can't even tell you.
Wow, they don't boo very often here in Kansas City.
And then before the game was over, Mrs. Kelsey, Taylor Swift, she was gone. She was out of the booth. There was no high fives and handshakes. There were no lipstick kisses on the glass. There was nothing there. And the fact that her boyfriend, the weak, and I'm talking about a capital W, the weak Travis Kelsey, the classless clown throwing his helmet in frustration like a 10-year-old child.
I mean, we handed that team a win on Christmas. We literally played Santa and gave him a present. Everybody in the building knows how embarrassing that was.
That's the perfect picture to have on any Raider locker, any Raider room, any Raider collection, him throwing his helmet. Because it just highlights this game. And, you know, I don't know if we'll ever do this again. I hope we do it again soon. But I'll tell you this. This was a great win by our defense. Gutted it out. And, man, I cannot believe how fierce. The tackles were great. We missed one or two here and there, but nothing like classic. The Raiders won. 20-14. And it wasn't even close. You'd think it's that close. No, it wasn't that close because the Chiefs couldn't move. We had them wrapped up. We had them wrapped up like a nice Christmas present. I love it. Great job, Raiders. I'm sure there's something I'm leaving out. I'm sure I'll catch it on the bone line. But, oh, my gosh, what a victory. I just could not believe it. And I'll take that one and that. Is all I can possibly say about that.
Go Colts! 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 Go Colts!
Sunday, 12:31. That's New Year's Eve, folks. The Las Vegas Raiders travel to Lucas Oil Field to play My Little Blue Ponies. That's right, they're 8-7 looking for a playoff berth. Everyone in their division is kind of together there in the same 8-7-ish record. They beat some pretty good teams, and they've lost to some pretty bad teams.
for the Colts, what's the biggest storyline for the Colts is, like you mentioned, they're in the seventh seed right now.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing for the Colts right now is, what team are we? What team are we going to be in these last two games? Because we've seen so many different sides of this Colts team. Now, I know they've gone through a lot of adversity, losing their starting quarterback early this season for the year. Obviously, that changes all your plans. Jonathan Taylor missing most of the season. Shaquille Leonard, everything happening with that and leading to his ultimate release. But when you look at this Colts team, it's been a team of streaks and runs this year. They started off strong after a rough Jaguars game to start the year, but then fell to 3-5 early in the season. Then they went on a 4-game winning streak. I mean, again, they beat teams that they should have beaten, but they still beat those teams.
Right.
4-game winning streak over Panthers, Patriots, Buccaneers, and Titans. And then we've seen this very bipolar team the last 3 weeks, where getting blown out by the Cincinnati Bengals, but then blowing out the Pittsburgh Steelers, and then getting blown out by the Atlanta Falcons. What football team are we right now? Like, are we the playoff team? Are we the seven seed in this AFC, this really tight AFC race right now? Or are we the team that's just going to fold down the stretch and kind of succumb to being the backup quarterback team that was overachieving throughout the year? I think that's a big test for this team, especially with a rookie head coach, again, with a lot of adversity they've been facing all year. How are they going to finish these last two games? Because with the way that the math falls for them, if they win these last two games, they're almost a lock for the playoffs. They would need a lot of things to fall against them if they win these last two games to not make it. They're like a 99% chance, I believe. So they got to take care of business. They can't be watching the scoreboard. They can't be looking ahead to any next week. I mean, it's two games left to show what kind of football team you are. I know we can look at it and say this team's kind of overachieved this season, but let's go all the way with it. Let's overachieve to the max and make it into the playoffs.
Why stop now?
yeah. End this on a good streak. You know, you've been overachieving all year, but let's push this to the playoffs. Now, it's kind of the same way to the Raiders. Like, win those last two games, see where the chips fall. It misses the playoffs, whatever. You know, you put out 10 wins this season. But for the Colts, you know, you got to finish strong after this really bipolar stretch they're coming off of these last 3 weeks.
You know, they're a hot and cold team. They have Gardner Minshew as their quarterback. They have Jonathan Taylor as their running back. I think he's coming back from injury this game. So we're going to be without, it looks like, our first string running back and our tight end. That's not a good thing for the Raiders. However, Gardner Minshew is very hot and cold as far as the quarterback goes.
What has the value of Gardner Minshew been, right? I mean, look, this year across the league, it's been proven that you need to have a really quality backup. Anthony Richardson starts the season. He's out early with the injury. He misses the rest of the season, but Gardner Minshew slides right in. How comfortable has that allowed, you know, the head coach there, Shane Steichen, to be, knowing that Gardner Minshew, at least, I mean, he's not a world beater, but he's been there and done that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, if you look around the league, it's what, 59 quarterbacks have started games this year. Gardner Minshew has the most wins out of all the backup quarterbacks that have started games. Now, Joe Flacco is making a run for his money right now, but Gardner Minshew has the most wins among all those backups that have started. And I think a lot of it came down to just his familiarity with Shane Steichen, where Steichen, yes, he had to completely change his offense from the preseason plan when Minshew stepped in, but he was changing it to a way that he already was prepared to potentially change it to, you know, just go heavy RPOs, go a little bit more in the gun, go more with, you know, getting the ball out quick and kind of taking away some of those deep balls. Cause that's just not what Gardner Minshew is. It's not the most efficient and effective way of playing offense in the NFL. It's not a sustainable way of playing offense in the NFL, but it is a way that Shane Steichen was able to find, you know, success with this year. It was able to sneak some wins out against, you know, Baltimore Ravens, Houston Texans early in the season, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Those are all playoff teams right now. Mm-hmm. The Colts were able to win those type of games with Gardner Minshew at quarterback because Shane Steichen had that plan in place. So I'm not going to say that Gardner Minshew has been a world beater this year, because he hasn't. He's been probably just a below average quarterback. But in the landscape of the NFL, when you're going to your backup quarterback, to have below average, that's such a big advantage for your team, to have below average.
And their defense is okay. They lost their best pass rusher, which used to be on our team, Nkongwe. He's gone. So they do have some rushing. They got a pretty good linebacking core. But I think if the Raiders can keep up tempo and run the ball and actually be successful with screen passes, I know O'Connell is nothing to write home about, but if they want to win this game, they'll do an up-tempo game. They'll use the screen. They'll run the ball with authority because our offensive line is very good. And I think we can do that. I don't expect him to pass the ball, you know, 60 yards, although I would love that. We can win this game. I would love to see us win this game. It would be horrible to go backwards. Let me just say that. After that last victory in Kansas City, for us to go and play the Colts and lay an egg, it would be brutal. These guys beat the Ravens. They beat the Baltimore Ravens, if you can believe that.
I want the Raiders to make the playoffs. They have a path to get in. Let's take out Indy first. Remember, Gardner Minshew is the quarterback for Indy. He won the last ever game in Oakland in one of the great comebacks on the last day ever played in Oakland football for the Raiders. Gardner Minshew was the architect of that comeback. I respect him as a playmaker who can cause problems for the Raiders, Jonathan Taylor, all of that. So there's a lot of work to be done.
So they're a dangerous team because they're hot and cold. We just have to play our football game. I think if we play our defensive game and we're very conservative on offense, we can win this game as well. Gardner Minshew is kind of a freak. He's on and he's off, hates the pressure. Now, he's a guy that'll get out of the pocket, too, and make a play. So if we can do what we did with Mahomes, keep him inside the pocket and collapse the pocket on him, do that a few times, he's going to get freaked out, and then we got him. They don't have any threats, really, other than Jonathan Taylor that I can think of offhand. But, you know, it'd be sure nice to win this game, too, especially away like this, and have our defense do it. That would be an epic win. They have Gus Bradley, which was our old defensive coordinator. He's smart. He's a great defensive mind. And he knows the Raiders. He knows Max Crosby. So, I think this will be a good contest for us. I think we can win this game. They're playing for a playoff spot, so they're going to go all in. And we got to be spoilers here. We got to take their heart. I know it's a long shot for us to make the playoffs, but it's possible. I just hope we can just play. If we want to keep this coach, he's got to win. He's got to win out for the season because we can beat these last two teams for sure. The Broncos just put Russell Wilson on ice, just like we did Derek Carr. Yeah, Russell Wilson is out for the season. So that means we're playing our old backup quarterback. What's his name? Stidham. I remember we had a playoff game. In Stidham we trust? No. So he's beatable for sure. So if we win these last two games and Kansas City continues to struggle, who knows? Because we're right behind him and we could be ahead of him. That would be so crazy. But we got to get such better quarterback play. We got to get O'Connell to step it up a bunch in order for us to do anything the rest of the year. But it would be sweet to get this victory and the next one and then just see how the cards lay. Never thought I'd say this at this time of the year because, boy, oh, boy, I had no hope when we had McDonald's cheeseburger at the helm. Now I'm feeling pretty good, man. We should all be feeling pretty doggone good about our Raiders. And that is all I have to say about that. All right, let's get to the bone line. 7755 Raider, that's the number. We got a lot of callers. We got to take every single one of them because this was such an epic victory. I can't wait. Let's get to our first caller. And our first caller is Tracy from New Jersey. I love these calls because everyone's pretty happy. Merry Christmas, girl. What's up?
What is up, Raider Nation? Like I said before, there is only one Raider Nation. Hey, what's up, Raider Greg? Raider Randy, Merry Christmas and to the nation. A great win, a really solid win. I know it's not the end of the season. We still got a couple games to go. Is this a couple games, one or two? Anyway, it's not over. But I I liked what I saw today. I am one happy Raider fan. Oh, I'm sorry. This is Tracy from New Jersey. Oh, yeah. Nice game. Punched Patrick Mahomes in his Maryland Farmer mouth. Oh, my gosh. I can't stand that guy. It was a great, great game. Zamir White, the defense, Max Crosby, Malcolm Kuntz. Great job. Great job. One happy Raider fan. Love to Raider Nation. The one, the only Raider Nation. Everybody have a great Christmas holiday. Peace out. Love y'all.
Oh, yeah. Patrick Mahomes was just a bit upset. Screaming at his offensive line. Kelce throwing his helmet. You just can't beat those things on TV on Christmas Day. And then Taylor Swift showing the pouty lip. I just love it. I love it. I love the call. It's nice to be a Raider fan today. Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year. And our next caller is the Prez. Without a doubt, I knew he'd be calling in. What do you got for us, my good brother?
Joy to the world, the Raiders won. The Chiefs can stay the asses home. Hello there, Raider Nation. This is the Happy Jolly Prez. Salute to Raider Red. I'm sorry. Salute to Raider Craig. And salute to brother Raider Randy and the Raider Nation. The Raider Nation is rejoicing. What a magnificent defensive game. I mean, what more can you ask for on a Christmas day? We came, we conquered, we won. That's all that matters. Never mind the negativities about the Rook, and we'll work that out. The defense definitely deserves some extra stockings, gifts inside these stockings, stuff. And I am very, 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 very excited and happy because it looked like we was about to get ready and do the usual, and you know what that is. We won't speak of it. We'll just take that victory. I hope and pray that to each and every one of you, your holidays is what you expected, and then some. And to those who are celebrating Christmas without their loved ones, we send out our love and prayers to you as well. We take this victory in the name of God and Jesus. Thank you so much. Merry Christmas, Raider Nation. Take care.
Love the song. Love the game. I had to wait the last 2 minutes till I started to realize that, you know what? I think this could happen. The whole game was a joy, though. And, the Raider Nation needed something, and that's a great present for us. That is for sure. Our next caller is Nebraska Raider. And he is surrounded by Chiefs fans and Bronco fans. And this is very sweet for him. So let's give him our ear and listen.
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. This is Nebraska Raider calling in, and you know it's so freaking sweet living out here surrounded by a bunch of Queef fans and Donkey fans. Raider Nation, rise. For today, we took down the Muppets and Kelce throwing his helmet on the sideline and pissed offism. And, yeah. Oh my gosh, it's speechless. But you know what? That, if this doesn't solidify, I'm not saying, you know, you got to go through the process of head coaching and whatnot. We're all riding on a high after 63 points and now a win in Kansas City on Christmas. Greatest present ever, besides God's birth. And the Colts are very winnable. Denver's very winnable. I think we win those two out. I know there's still a process to go through, but boom, put them in the office. First team since 2000 to win a game without completions in the second, third, or fourth quarter. Come on now, but we got that running game going, and our defense stood the frick up. Jack Jones. Heck yeah. And that scoop and score, getting a little tricky there, huh? Oh, can't hold on to the ball? Okay, well, I guess we ended up taking six because bobbled that little field goal. But 20-14, guys. Raider Nation, enjoy it, brother. This is great. I'm in Dubuque, Iowa right now, up here visiting family for Christmas. Did all that yesterday and stayed and watched the game, and now I'm going to head back and watch it again because they recorded it, and it's so sweet. So heading back to Omaha with the pup, who's 14, but she acts like she's three, kind of like the Muppet on the sideline crying. But anyway, Nebraska Raider out, Raider Nation, God bless, Merry Christmas. Celebrate with your family and friends, and just know that this is about God, not presents or any of that stuff, food, any of that. It's about God. And God blessed us today with a freaking win over the Queefs. So, Raider Nation, I'm out. Just win, baby.
You're very right, brother. Jesus is the reason for the season. Salvation is also right there. And can't say it better. And what a Christmas present for the Raiders to get this kind of victory. And it was a beating. It was like payback for all the little giggles and all the little, you know, nonsense that they do. I just love it. I love seeing Andy Reid stressing on the sideline. There's just nothing better. And our next caller is Raider Chris from Scranton, PA. I love it. I just love it.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Raider Nation, Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Merry, Merry Christmas. I hope everybody had a fantastic holiday with family and friends. And, of course, watching the, not the greatest game, but an outstanding defensive game, and White showing up when he needed to. That's the bottom line on this game. This defense, holy hell, did they show up. But we had that team shook, top to bottom, shook, crying like little pansies that they are. So I'm going to end this with a, oh, no, onto the cunts, and that's that. Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation, love all of you. Happy holidays, and I'm out like that fat girl in dodgeball and those Kansas City Queefs tonight. Go Raiders.
You know, I didn't hear that very often during this game. I don't think I heard it maybe one time, the war cry, as they call it. But I did hear in the background Raider fans in the stadium, because it was so quiet, singing, Raiders, you just gotta love it. I do, especially with these cheeky Chiefs. Ugh. Love it, brother. Thanks for the call. And our next caller is Vinny. Raider Vinny's in the house. What do you got for us, Raider Vinny?
Well, Merry Christmas, Raider Nation. This is Raider Vinny, calling from the West Coast. Just want to say thank you, Raider Greg and Raider Randy, for putting on the show for all these years. And I just got one thing to say. Kermit the Frog is left the building. Raiders!
Kermit the Frog. You got to love that because he does look very Kermit-ish.
This is Kermit the Frog speaking to you from Sesame Street News in Wonderland, where anything can happen, and it usually does.
And Raider Vinny, I gotta let you guys in on something. Raider Vinny is my son, Raider James. So thanks, son. I love it. Yeah, you've been listening to this show for a long time, my good boy. Very proud of my son. And our next caller is the Cheesehead Raider. What do you got for us from Wisconsin, brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. This is the Cheesehead Raider calling from Wisconsin, which I just received, as the nation did, the best Christmas present we could ask for, a defeat of the Kansas City Condiments. What a joy it is. And it's amazing. If we win out, so next week we've got the Colts. Then the week after that, we finish out against the Broncos. If we win those two games, the Chargers and the Bengals beat the Kansas City Condiments, the Vegas Raiders win the AFC West Division. That's amazing. I can't believe it. Now, we should just focus week by week, see what happens. Clearly, this is a great win. Defense clearly won the game for us. You got the fumble return, then right after that, pick six. And I'm starting to come around to the fact is that we need a different quarterback. AOC, he just doesn't have it. I mean, I can't, you know, before as a rookie, you know, you got to give him some time, but it just seems like there's times that he plays good one week and the next week, it's like he forgets how to play quarterback. I just don't understand it. I just don't know what to say. Maybe we'll see what these last 2 weeks bring us, but this game here and other games really starting to make me think we need a quarterback. I'm not saying that we should draft one. Personally, I think we should draft some defense, do something about the offensive line during the off season through free agency. But this AOC, I'm not sold. Think we got some work to do there. Maybe an off season will do him some good. And if AP does get the head coaching job, I'm still not going to say he should. But if he does, the major one question that I think that Mark Davis needs to ask, who are you going to bring in to develop this young man? Or if we draft another quarterback, who is going to develop that man? And with saying that, Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation, win, lose, or tie, Raider Nation, till I die, Cheesehead Raider, I am out.
Oh, yeah, I'll take the win. And be satisfied with it. Yeah, we could win the next two games. Let's just see how we play. O'Connell, yeah, you know, with this defense, if he played even a little better, we could be dangerous, seriously dangerous, because we have the weapons. We just don't have the delivery of the weapons, which would be his job. So I don't want to put the cart before the horse and talk too much about the offseason. I just know that we need a quarterback. And if he can't step up and be that guy, because there's plenty of players out there that can play better than him that are out there floating around, let's just see how we do. And the offseason is going to take care of itself. I know that. So Aiden O'Connell, Pierce, we'll see how it pans out. I'm just so happy that we beat these slap-happy Chiefs in their own house with Taylor Swift crying a river, Kelsey going off like a baby, Kermit the Frog yelling at his offensive line. Listen, I'll take it. And our next caller is Nebraska Raider for round two. What do you got for us, brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, this is Nebraska Raider calling in for a second time. I was just listening to your last podcast on the way home, and yeah, I do that. I re-listen, especially if it's a good one. Well, after a win, they're all good. But I was listening to it, and Raider Greg, you made a point that we saw in the game that they're having a hard time holding on to the ball, Kansas City is. Well, you saw it on that little trick play exchange. And you saw what happened. They fumbled it, and we took advantage and scooped and scored again, second time. I don't think you see that hardly ever, especially by one team back-to-back weeks. And then Jack Jones, obviously, you know, with pick six two times, re-signed that dude for sure. I know he's getting mouthy. I loved it. Pierce had to kind of talk him down a little bit off the edge, but I love that feistiness. And you know what? Damn straight. He has all the right to do that because back-to-back weeks against division rivals, pick sixes. But big shout-out to Raider Dan, man. You and I holding it down in the Midwest. I'm sure there's a lot of others out there holding it down. I know I see Raider every time I go out. It's like a dog sixth sense, man. You can smell it. You can sense it.
Big shout out to Raider Dan. You hold it down there in KC. I'll hold it down here in Omaha, man. But yeah, I just want to say that. And again, Merry Christmas. God bless. Happy New Year. And in the words of Hugh Myers, love on your family. Take care of your family. And most importantly, just win, baby.
Well, yeah, you know, our defense won the game. With those two plays 7 seconds apart, the defense sealed the deal for the Chiefs. Not only did we score, but we just demolished their souls. We stole their heart. Kermit the Frog had nowhere to go.
Hi, all. This is Kermit the Frog speaking to you from Sesame Street News in Wonderland, where anything can happen, and it usually does.
It was just such a beating and such a pleasure to see the beating. Yeah, I knew if we could get some of those balls and those fancy plays, they've been dropping passes. They've been kicking balls up here and there. A lot of insecurity with this team. So it paid off well for the Raiders. It's nice to see for sure. Thanks for the call, man. And our next caller is Raider Claus. He's in the house. Got some wisdom, too. What's up, man?
Merry Christmas, Raider Greg, Raider Randy, and a big Merry Christmas to the entire Raider Nation. This is Raider Claus calling in to wish everyone a safe and happy holiday. That was an ugly game, but in the past, we've lost those ugly games. The defense stepped up and played relentless. And I think AP is setting the tone for the defense and for the entire team. Nobody gave up. And, you know, at the end of so many games, all we need is a first down. And what do? We punt it. This time, dominated. The offensive line, the defensive line. That is where we need to focus. And I don't want to hear about the playoffs or anything like that. Let's just take care of business for the next two games. Let the chips fall where they may, and let's just keep this thing moving. All right, Raider Nation, safe and happy holidays. I'm out.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about the playoffs. I mean, it's a possibility, but let those things fall where they may. I just want us to keep playing this hard, this mean, and this nasty so that all the teams in the NFL get an idea that the Raider defense is back. I'm in the old school. We're going to take you out for a couple games. Raider defense is out and roaming the field. I love it. I love the victory. We have some things to work on, but I will take this one all day and twice on Sunday. Blessings to you, my brother, on this beautiful holiday. And our next caller is Mountain Raider from West Virginia. I love this take. It's short, but it's very sweet. What's up, brother?
Raider Randy, Raider Greg, all on Christmas Eve. This is the Mountain Raider from West Virginia. I don't even know what to say. Can't believe it. Awesome. Just awesome. It's just awesome. I can't remember enjoying two games back-to-back played by the Raiders more than these two. I don't know what to say. Just awesome. Get Raiders.
I can't remember a day like this either. Not only did the Chiefs get beat, but the 49ers went down in a ball of flames too. And for us here in the north of California, that is sweet, sweet victory. Because we're getting tired of those cocky dudes for sure. Okay, man. Have a Merry Christmas. Have a Happy New Year, brother. And our next caller is Raider Trevor from Farmington, New Mexico. What do you got for us, my good Raider fan?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. This is Raider Trevor in Farmington, New Mexico. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I just want to call. It's been over a month since I've called. So we're talking 0-3-63. And now a win over the Chiefs. So just a few bullet points. I just want to hear your take on it. So
I feel like AOC, I don't think he's, I think he's backup material. I'm not sure if we should go get Justin Fields. I don't know if he's a starter quarterback either. I don't know if we should just be aggressive and trade up for a quarterback in the draft. I hope that's what we do. We did beat the Chiefs. I love seeing Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce flustered on the sidelines and Pacheco losing his helmet twice. That's not a coincidence. He obviously needs to do something about that. That's on him. And Max Crosby just destroying and Jack Jones and just defense, defense, defense. And there's not a lot of defensive teams that can dominate like this in the league right now. So if our offense can't score and then our defense has to do it, it's worked twice in a row, but that's not consistent that we can do that. So hopefully we can get some touchdowns for the last couple games. Hopefully we beat the Broncos, shut them out 4 years in a row. So many other bullet points. I just want to say thank you for doing the podcast. I'm glad you didn't give up like I almost gave up halfway through the season. I was sick of this team. I was sick of McDaniels. I didn't know if I wanted to even watch and support my team anymore. And as soon as I felt that way, sure enough, the coach got fired. So just some bullet points. And lastly, if we can run the ball like this with Zamir White, I don't see any reason to pay big money for Josh Jacobs. Let him go somewhere else and just put that money elsewhere. So have a great New Year's, guys. Love you guys. I'll listen every single week that you have a podcast. So God bless you. And remember the reason for the season, which is Jesus Christ. So thank you. Have a great rest of the year. Bye.
Well, my brother, we were all feeling a little blue, a little black and blue, that is, because our coach sucked. We had no light at the end of any tunnel. Even if it was a light, it was a train. And until we got rid of him, there was really little hope for this organization, along with his cohort in crime, the general manager, actor extraordinaire. But since we've lost them, it seems like the turnaround is happening. Slowly, but surely, I think our defense is really showing some serious life. And if we can just get a quarterback like we did before, like Rich Gannon, we could pick up a guy like him and refurbish him, dust him off, and stick him out there. I think this team could definitely make a solid run. And I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but we do have a possibility. With this defense, man, if it continues to roll, we can shore it up a little more in the offseason. But, man, other teams will be fearful of the Raiders once again and not feeling sorry for us, but feeling sorry for themselves when they have to play us. Love the call, brother. Happy New Year. And my next caller, my very good brother, for sure, from another mother, Raider Damien, is in the house.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere I go. Raider Greg, Raider Randy's Raider Damien in Comal County, Texas, deep in the heart of hostile territory. What a beautiful Christmas game that was. And my real only comment here for you, Greg and Randy, and the rest of the Raider Podcast Nation is I believe that we seriously have to consider keeping Antonio Pierce on board. Love to hear your thoughts, Greg, but I think we've got to keep this guy. He is bringing back attitude, and from what I can see, just looking at the players and seeing their TikToks and their Instagrams and going to that game the week before against the Chargers, I'm just seeing a swagger and a belief, an attitude of belief in the team. And we did not have that under Chicken McNugget. So that's my thoughts. I hope you had a great Christmas, Randy. Great Christmas, Greg, with your families. Raider Nation Podcast Nation, I am out.
Yeah, You know, I think Pierce would be fine. He has a lot of resources. He has a lot of coaches that are willing to help him. Chicken McNuggets, thank goodness that curse is gone. We'll see what happens in the offseason. I know the team is playing out of their mind. If this continues to happen for the rest of the season, I just don't see a reason to get rid of him. Now, there's a lot that can happen, a lot of going on, but I just love the fear that this defense is going to put into the Colts and into the Broncos. And I think that alone, that fear, will carry on to next season if we just shore it up a little bit, keep this coach. You know, who knows? I mean, it's not my decision. But if he can get the right offensive coordinator, and most importantly, a quarterback, there's no limit to the silver and black, my good brother. Yeah, I know you're overjoyed with this win as well, because we're getting tired of the condiments, my good brother. And our next caller is Matty Raider from Albany, New York. I love his take. It's actually perfect for this game. What's up, brother?
Hey, Merry Christmas, Nation. It's Matty Raider, Albany, New York. What a fantastic Christmas present we all got. On Christmas, we rolled into Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs in their house, and we watched the fans leave the stadium early and deflated. We watched Travis Kelce throw his helmet, the walrus trying to calm him down, while baby Patrick cried away. What a fantastic win. Didn't get much going on the offense. Doesn't matter, because that defense is ferocious. I don't know, guys. I mean, AP's making a strong case. So, let's win out the next two. Never believed in the whole tanking for a better draft pick. Guys are playing hard. Looks like AP's got them believing. Tamir White looked pretty nice, huh? It's nice to see whole nation watching on Christmas for a win. Let's roll. Let's go into Indianapolis, get another W. Happy New Year to everyone. Be safe. Love you guys.
Yeah, I just hope we can keep rolling. I know for sure that the Colts are afraid. I know that they are looking for Mad Max and Malcolm Kuntz and Belial. I don't even know. I don't know how they're going to do it, but Gardner Minshew, when asked the question in his own locker room, was, oh yeah, they have a good defense. We're looking at them. You could see the fear. So let's hope we can bring that same defense to my blue ponies and get the W over there too. Zamir White looked great, better than I've ever seen him run. I was kind of afraid that we didn't have a running back, but it looks like we got a pretty good one here. If we can keep him going, if we can just get our quarterback to stand up and throw the ball, who knows? And our next caller is father and son, Raider, from San Diego, California. What is up, brother?
Good morning, Raider Greg and Raider Randy. This is father and son calling from San Diego, California with the Victory Tuesday. What a game. What a gift sent by our Raiders. Max Crosby, Robert Spillane, Malcolm Kuntz, the D-line, and Jack Jones did it again. He just became part of Raider Nation. Not only did he join our family last week, but he joined it yesterday with the best gift. We enjoyed watching Mahomes get chased by our defense, and I kept on telling my boys, this is the Raider defense that we grew up with, watching me and my brother. And the 70s and early 80s Raiders, they just dominated games just like yesterday. My boys and I couldn't be happier I kept on turning to my wife and saying, "Wife, send us your good luck." And boy, did it work, because Patrick Mahomes kept on running and Kelce kept on whining. And man, what a day for Raider Nation. To all of us that bleed silver and black, not only did I wish you a happy and Merry Christmas last week, but I want to wish you a Feliz Nuevo Año, a precious new year to all my Raider Nation fans out there, all of our family out there. And you know what, Raider Greg and Raider Randy, thank you for putting this out. You guys are the best. I wish you nothing but health and prosperity and wonderful new beginnings this new year of 2024 coming up. Let's get that win in Indianapolis, and let's get maybe AFC champs. I believe. I hope Raider Nation believes. I'm out, father and son. We beat the Chiefs, baby. Bragging rights against the Chargers and the Chiefs. We got one, two more to go, and then hopefully playoffs. Later.
That is what I'm talking about. The old school Raider defense. We haven't seen it in so long. People don't know it. I know it. You know it. Randy knows it. And all the OGs out there know it. But to see it again in this game, it was so exciting, because the Raiders, like I said, man, people used to fear the Raiders. There was no mark a W when they're going to see us, man. There's more like, oh my gosh, we got to make sure we got plenty of ice in the tub, because it's going to hurt after this game. And that's what our defense did. And that's what the Raiders are about. That's what we really established early on. And that's part of the mystique of the Raiders, bro. So, so true. And a happy new year as well to you and your son and your family. And thank you for the call, because you brought back a lot of memories like I already did. I already knew this defense. I kept saying to myself, man, it's been so many years since we've seen this kind of dominance. And not only that, I mean, we were taking guys out of the game. Hey, man, this is true Raider football. And our next caller, couldn't wait for this one. Raider Dan from KC. I'm sure when he went to work the next day, it was not very boisterous or loud, and he didn't get a lot of hits, but he was given the hits just like our Raiders did. What's up, brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, this is Raider Dan from KC. I'll start with the positive. Merry Christmas to everybody, except for those Chiefs fans who got that lump of coal. As the coach said, and I want you to play that locker room speech, Raiders! We believe, I believe, the nation is Sparrowhead believe. The nation watching the game believe. As I said on the last podcast, Raider Gray, that is our coach. His interview after the game was emotional. We all felt it. They all knew when they came to Kansas City what they was playing for. Yeah, we didn't win the Super Bowl, but we got this man this job. They laid it out on the line. They play like the Raiders that we remember. Depending on how old you are, whether you've seen them in the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s, and even when we wasn't winning that many games, they were violent, intense, physical, physicality, man, Raider Gray. I didn't make it to the game, but you can feel the pain. They brought the pain to little bitty touching nose, and I was glad on national TV you could see the tears in his eyes. We beat his ass. Hope he didn't hurt his kids, but we beat his ass. So bad that Travis Kelce was throwing his helmet like a big old baby. Man, it was so sweet. Jack Jones, Jack of Spades, that's his name. Thought up there being the Grinch, snatching the ball from the kid. I don't know if he did or didn't, but, you know, whatever. Doesn't matter. What's the autumn win of a Raider?
knock them around, pillage. Man, Raider Greg, going to work was so sweet. Everybody's so quiet. What's wrong with the Chiefs? We whooped that ass. That's what happened. Go Raiders. Raiders! I'm out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is the Raiders of old. This was the autumn wind blowing into Sparrowhead and destroying the condiments. That's right. The fans were deflated. Mahomes was crying, screaming at his offensive line. Kelsey throwed his helmet. Taylor Swift hiding her face. Man, you couldn't ask for a better game. And this old defense just reminded me of the old Raiders. They used to put people in the hospital. It was crazy violent, but this is exactly what the Chiefs deserve after that ring around the rosy there in our stadium when they beat us the last time. Oh no, they won't be doing that anytime soon. I do not believe. I'm glad to see that you went to work, and I'm sure you had a couple of digs. I'm glad you did. I hope you dug deep in those co-workers of yours and let them know this is just the beginning of the beatings. So wait till next time. Love the call, brother. And last but never least, Raider Trip, the RVA Raider, is in the house. What do you got for us, man?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, this is Trip, the RVA Raider, calling from Richmond, Virginia. It is the Wednesday after the Christmas Miracle game in Kansas City. Oh, my goodness gracious. What a game. This team, sometimes they just don't fail to surprise you. So with it being a 1 o'clock kickoff on the East Coast, I watched the second half, spending Christmas with my family until things had kind of died down a little. Turned it on for the second half, and lo and behold, 17-7. What a surprise. I was even more surprised to see how we got those two touchdowns on the board. Man, our defense, I never thought that I'd be saying it at this point in the season, but they really have been impressive. I mean, over the past three games, I think they have only allowed 38 points. And in the epic beatdown of the Dolts, 14 of those points were scored in garbage time when we had pulled Mad Max with some of the other starters. That's really impressive. I got to say, it was only a couple weeks ago that I was doubting this coach, but I watched him in the post-game interview, and he really impressed me. Just the things that he was saying, the passion for this team really shines through. And, you know, it's the passion that's overcome the pain for me as a fan all these years. And wins like this are what keep me in it. Last week, that 63-21 performance, absolutely incredible. And then delivering the Christmas Day miracle, only having our offense score 6 points. But for the second week in a row, two defensive touchdowns? I mean, this is freaking incredible. I didn't know who Jack Jones was a few weeks ago. And this Coots guy, too, he's really stepping up now that Crosby's getting double and triple teams. It's really impressive. It was awesome watching Patrick Mahomes run his ass all over the field trying to get away from us on Monday. Absolutely incredible. Someone told Coach Pierce in the press conference postgame that Mahomes had scrambled for more than 1,000 yards trying to get away from us. That's just running from side to side and getting away from our defenders. Over 1,000 yards. That's freaking incredible. And if they can do that over these next two games, who the frick knows what might happen? We might actually go to the playoffs. It's incredible to think, given the McDum-Dum disaster that the season started out with. But here we are, for the second time in what? Three or four seasons, if we win out, we got a chance. I mean, I know some other stuff has to happen, but it's freaking incredible. I'm psyched. I can't believe it. The game was incredible. I'm feeling on top of the world right now. Awesome to go into Sparrowhead and give those Chiefs a beatdown. Freaking awesome.
Merry Christmas, Raider Nation. It's the Christmas miracle. None of us are ever going to forget this game, especially if it's going to lead to a postseason berth. All right, everybody, I love you. Be good to one another. RVA Raider, I'm out.
Yeah, I don't want to put too much ahead of us, but I sure love what's behind us. I love the way we just beat the Chiefs in their house. Sent their fans crying on the way home, wondering what's wrong with Mahomes, what's wrong with Kelsey, what's wrong with their coach, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong. There is nothing sweeter than that kind of beating, because we put the beating on him, took a couple of their guys out for the next game. I love it. This is Raider football. This is the way it's supposed to be. And yeah, Pierce's interview was amazing. You could tell that he really loves these guys and he loves this team. Let's just see what happens. You never know, but it was a great victory. I appreciate that call, brother. Well, Raider Nation, that will wrap it up for this show, this Raider Nation podcast. We've gone through a lot. And he went through this hammerhead coach. He went through the pain of his lame play calling and his poor decision making. I mean, I can only imagine having Derek Carr as our quarterback, what we could have done throughout this season. But no, we can't look back that far. We can't think about those things because we have to look forward, because change is in the wind. The best wind change we had was getting rid of old McDonald's and McNuggets. And yeah, so we got some games coming up we can win if we play the same way we played these condiments. I look forward to that. I just want to wish everyone a very safe and happy new year. 2024 might have a new dawn for the Raiders. Let's just hope that's bright and light, and that people, when they look at their calendars and they see the Raiders on them next year, they shake their head in fear. I love it. I am Raider Greg, and I am out.